Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 through 24. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, and giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and focused Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his one signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God spared his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave order to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Living by faith may seem like choosing to live pleasantly, foolishly, ridiculously. In Genesis, Noah foolishly built a big ark in the middle of the desert with his whole family for decades. Even though people look at him with wide eyes, When the people of Israel, led by Joshua, finally entered the land of Canaan, they simply blew trumpets around the city, foolishly thinking that they were going to break down the heavenly walls of Jericho. The shepherd boy who called himself David, foolishly taking stones and string against the strongest giant warrior that no one could ever defeat. The Magi's foolishly set out on a journey that if they followed the stars that appeared in the sky, they would meet the newborn Messiah. And Peter foolishly went out of his boat into the middle of the 43-meter deep lake of Galilee toward the face of that lake. And the Lord Jesus, foolishly and silly, put on crown of thorns and hung on the cross. All of these acts of faith appear to be, well, silly and ridiculous. It deviates greatly from the common sense of society and the common sense of the world, but all of these things were in keeping with God's will. What Daniel is doing in today's verse are also appropriate to God's will, but foolish, ridiculous, and far cry from common sense of the world, of social accepted ideas. Daniel was finally not only dragged from his seat of power, but thrown down to the lion's den. These lions in the lion's den are not daytime, sleepy-eyed lion of the safari park or docile lions who sleep with their bellies full, but the lions in the lion's den are such lions who starve without food for at least a week so that their sentence can be carried out more brutally, and yet they know the taste of human flesh. In verse 24, there is a good description of how he was such a lion. The king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of them, the lion overpowered them and crushed all their bones. It's like this. Most of pictures told or seen at church schools shows Daniel, a young boy, happily interacting with smiling lions who look kind. In reality, it was 82 years old Daniel, and the lions are drooping, fierce, hungry for their prey. Now, Daniel would not have been thrown into the lion's den if he had only stopped praying to the one true God of heaven just for 30 days. Envious of the fact that Daniel, an outsider from captivity, had become the de facto national authority, the high-ranking officials of Media Persia, in an attempt to bring him down, took advantage of the king's weakness and made him enact prohibition that he would be thrown into the lion's den for 30 days if he prayed for or against anything other than the king. This is prohibition because suppose the dignitaries knew that Daniel would open the door in the direction of Jerusalem three times a day, offering praise and thanksgiving to the Lord and praying, isn't it? As I said last week, there is nothing more despicable or childish than to bring person down in faith, and yet leaders of nation do this, don't they? And here, the social acceptable common sense action that Daniel can take is to quiet praying to God for 30 days, isn't it? That way, not only will I able to defend my number two spot, but I won't be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel doesn't stop praying. How often do we Christians not pray one-on-one with God for 30 days? Isn't it common for us to get down on our knees like Daniel and not praise God, give thanks and pray three times a day, morning, noon, and night? It doesn't take any effort at all, to be quiet. You just need to go about your life as usual. Now, even if we pray that the way every day, if we just quit the act of praying for 30 days, and after 30 days, we would be protected in our status and our lives by simply attending the service with a blank face. Isn't this a simple thing? A simple thing for those of us who call ourselves Christians, whose motto is to cherish social conversation and keep our faith within the common sense of the world. But it wasn't easy for Daniel to do. It was a very difficult thing to do, and I had to put my life, put his life on the line. Because the Spirit of Holy God dwell in Daniel, for the true Christian who has the Spirit of Holy God, prayers is very life itself. As I told you during the Passion Week service, a person becomes a living being only when the Spirit of God dwells in him. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says the person becomes living being only when the breath of God is breathed into him, and the word breath can be translated as spirit. Oh, so for Christian who had the Spirit of Holy God dwelling and living with the Spirit of Holy God, prayer is absolutely necessary, essential breath to keep this life from, isn't it? With prayer, free from breathlessness, and with prayer, life lives and bounds as fresh oxygen flow through your body and makes you feel good. With prayer, we are empowered, and with prayer, the blood's vision became clear, and with prayer, we realize that God is with us. With prayer and with assurance that you have been made a child of God. With prayer, we realize the promise that we will live even when we die. With prayer, we can chew on promise that we are not living only for this perishing, decaying body, but that we will be given body that we will live eternal life and will never again perish. Never again perish. They say that all foods are more or less addictive. The more you eat, the more it makes you want to eat it again. That's why we all want to remember it and eat it. Prayer, like nay, more than food, preserve Christian life, and the more we pray, the more the taste of it permeates our bodies. And the more we pray, the more we experience God's presence of life as fresh, delicious oxygen permeates our bodies. There's nothing better than experiencing God, right? For Daniel, who occupied the taste of experiencing God with praying. Praying meant living, and not praying meant dying. To not pray was to Daniel suffocation in some ways, and to depart from God without prayer has to Daniel death. But from the standpoint of social norms and common sense, it's a foolish act of faith. Faith based on position, faith based on learning, faith based on profit, faith based on assurance and stability, faith based on good reputation, faith based on health, and faith based on politics. This is the common sense of the world. You can't let your faith prevail. If faith prevails, then that's aberration of choosing foolish, idiotic way of life, isn't it? My second and third sons have been staying at home with my wife for over a month since spring break because of school holidays. But my third son is, to put it simply, a child with a humorous personality. But to put it plainly, he's a naughty boy who doesn't listen to his parents. Perhaps because of this, my wife became very sick, but she still wouldn't listen. He still wouldn't listen to me, even though my wife was sick. So I came home in evening and said, "Hey, if you don't listen to your mother, mother will die like this," I said, and scolded him. He was so shocked that he received a phone call at home from his eldest son, his eldest brother, who was in his high school dormitory. Well, my eldest son can roughly guess what happened when he heard these words. The third son had told, "If my mother dies, I'll never live a day." And Daniel was holding on to God, wasn't he? For Daniel, who was separated from his parents, who came from his hometown Jerusalem as a young child, who was held captive, who had a wife, who had children, and who had no family, the only family he had was God of heaven. Daniel said, "I won't even live a day without praying to God." You can actually feel the sincere feeling that you are concerned about life. That praying was indeed a matter of life and death for Daniel. So do we really have this feeling, this realization? In the midst of his predicament, Daniel had one thing in his mind. Isn't that the conviction that being innocent before God means that he will surely prove that innocence? He had been shown this by Spirit of God in his 80 years of prayer life. Look at the words of Daniel, who had rescued from lion's pit. Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. It says that to be blameless before God is to be acknowledged without fail. That doesn't mean the claiming innocent before God while self-affirming your own self. And claiming to be innocent before God is innocent before God. Rather than being thrown into the lion's den, rather than losing your position, I want to make it priority to praise God. You cannot live without praising God and getting down on your knees 3 times a day in prayer. God Himself proved to me that I am clean before Him when the Holy Spirit leads me to be willing and able to make a choice of faith that is so foolish, ridiculous that I can't say, "I'm clean before God." This is not offered to justify my action, isn't it? And the backbone behind being able to chose such way of life, which in eyes of world seems silly and ridiculous, if even when you die, it's a firm faith that we should be able to do this. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. This is part of a conversation between Martha and Jesus. "But now Martha's brother Lazarus is sick and dying, and Martha said to Jesus, 'If you had come a little earlier before Lazarus died, he would have been saved. So why didn't you come earlier?'" This is Jesus' response to being a bit of nosedive. Jesus said like that. John 8, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Can you see that this answer doesn't meet with Jesus' question? Jesus said, "Even though you die, you live. Everyone who believes in me will never die forever and ever. Do you believe this? I'm asking." Martha said, "Yes, I believe that you are the Messiah and you are the Christ," she says, which means, "Jesus, what nonsense are you talking about? I admit that you are the Christ, but I don't believe in such strange things as dying and living. So you're saying to believe in Christ is to believe in God and to believe in life, that even though we die, we live. But this is ridiculous thing to do in terms of marginal human-made social conversations and common sense. Social idea and common sense. What Martha is saying is, we can follow you, Jesus, according to social compass, according to common sense, within the bounds of common sense, but we can't keep up with you in the things that seem crazy in eyes of world. It's a declaration of, I don't know what to do. In short, Martha said that she believes in Christ, but she doesn't believe in Christ. Even though I am innocent before God, I will not do anything foolish or foolish in the eyes of the world. It's a confession of faith with a bit cheating and cleverness. Here's what I would say if I were Daniel. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in you will live when he dies, and that everyone who lives and believes in you will live forever. So, what about us? Do you want to live your faith even if you're chose to live a foolish, ridiculous way in eyes of the world? And don't be afraid of the Spirit of Holy God who leads us to live out our faith to fullest, even if in eyes of the world we chose to live foolish, ridiculous way. Do you hear a loud voice saying, Oh my God? At the beginning of this sermon, this message, we talked about Noah, Joshua, David, adoration of Maggie, Peter, and Jesus willingly choosing their foolish act of faith. But what happened to them after that? You know that, don't you? Noah was saved from the great flood. Joshua brought down the walls that towered over the heavens. David defeated Goliath. The Magi encountered the Christ who was born. Peter walked over the lake, and the Lord Jesus took his place on the heavenly throne. All those who were innocent before God and lived in foolish faith were victorious in the Lord. But on the other hand, the Bible also writes about those who could not live this way, and the prime example is Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Even though he was a believer who lived and ate with Jesus for 3 years and followed Jesus, he couldn't choose to live innocent, stupid, foolish life before God in order to live his faith. On the contrary, at the end of the day, he chose the common sense of society to betray and hand Jesus over to the people was reasonable politically, emotionally, and it was in the best interest of influential people of the time, and even rewarding. From the point of view of the current of the world and the evaluation of people, following Jesus, who was crucified as a foolish criminal, was a big departure from the common sense of society. Even as a believer, it seems ridiculous to choose to be innocent before God. It's easy to think that it's good to follow man-made social idea, so common sense of the society, and while justifying it by saying to himself, I'm innocent in front of people, not God, he he betrayed not only Judas, but the rest of the 11 disciples. All of them betrayed Jesus. After all, it's hard to believe that it doesn't fit within political, social, educational, and academic perspectives and the knowledge that state school and companies transmit. So do we. But the work of apostles recalls how this unbelief is transformed by Holy Spirit into one who comes to believe and lives a blameless faith, not before men, but before God. And it is also recorded that what is blameless before men is not necessarily blameless before God, and that what is blameless before God is always blameless before men. Daniel, who was led to choose to be blameless before God rather than blameless before men, is doing one more thing that concerns him. That is, he should have prayed so that they wouldn't find out. Why did he go out of his way, as he always do, to open window in direction of Jerusalem and pray? That is to say, that would mean that God, Daniel believes God, is not something that can be kept under wraps, right? Last week we looked at Daniel's prayer and praise in Daniel chapter 2, but let's look at it again. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. The triune God that Daniel believes in is the one who transcends all creation, whose rise and fall are in his hands, who sets the time, who ticks the season, and who is the source of wisdom and power without single thing that cannot be known. Daniel knew very well that hiding the fact that he was a Christian who prayed three times a day was no way to hide the fact that God was God. The situation that Daniel was in was similar to that of modern Japan, where religious belief other than the worship of shrines and temples or emperor are forbidden to be spoken of. But the situation that Daniel was in was also departure from common sense of society at that time. To speak out publicly about religious belief other than the worship of the king. False gods who can lose their positions and be thrown into the lion's den, but false gods who can be hidden away when people want to hide them for their own convenience. I had a missionary mind that wanted people to know that there is only God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that cannot be hidden. If you truly believe in the true God, you can't hide it, and we breathe our innocent, foolish, ridiculous faith before God, hoping to know the only true God, and with some victory over the Lord. I experience that God is the God of salvation, so you are going to be proven innocent before God and in front of people and before around you are going to make confession of faith. Living in mission and evangelism is the forefront of foolish faith grain before God and being fit for God's will. Do you remember Hillman, who was the manager of Nippon Ham Fighters, a professional baseball team that was nominated for Buzzword Award? Shinjiwara and I can't believe it. He was also well known as a devout Christian and was featured in Christian newspapers. He was a talented manager who led Nippon Ham to Japanese championship in 2006 for the first time in 44 years, won the Asian championship and won the league championship in 2007. In 2017, he became the manager of the South Korea professional baseball team, SK Wyverns, and led the team to championship in 18 years by winning Korean Series. And yet, even though he won the championship, he quit his job as a manager and went back to United States. Since he led the team to a championship, his annual salary is sure to go up following year, and yet he kicks it and goes home. It is said to be the first time in the history of Korean professional baseball that winning manager quits without signing contract for the following year. The reason he quit the job was to take care of his stepmother who had Alzheimer's disease. A few years ago, his biological mother was called up, and then his father remarried, but the new mother of the remarried man had Alzheimer's disease, so he kicked in his huge annual salary to take care of her, kicked in the honor of being winning director, and returned to Japan. human's life motto is first and foremost Jesus Christ, then his family, then his work. One interview told me that when talking to director Hillman, he talks so much about God that he thinks he's listening to his pastor preach. Christians are those who are innocent before God, but live in faith that is, in the eyes of the world, foolish and ridiculous. That's what we Christians are, isn't it? So that's how you live your life. Would you like to live that way, or don't you think? Or do you want something that seems like honorable faith in eyes of the world, innocent even before God? If that's the case, there's no question that unless you chose to live by faith, which is innocent before God and foolish and ridiculous in the world, we cannot go to place where we are innocent before God and where our faith appears to be respectable in the eyes of the world. Daniel was determined that he could be deviate from God, even if he deviated from social conventions and the common sense of the world. The question for us here is whether we are prepared to deviate greatly in faith from common sense of society in order to be recognized as innocent before God. Let's pray to the Lord and ask him what corresponds to this, where each of us has been placed, given thanks and praise like Daniel. Let us walk as true Christians who fear what we fear and do not fear what we do not need to fear. Let's pray. Dear God, can we pray for you? Do we have decision? We can be a ridiculous person in this world, and can we listen to your voice? We want to be innocent before you and bless us. We can follow you foolishly and ridiculously in this world, but innocent before you. We say, believing Christ, so let us walk as Christian as we can say we believe in you. We thank your word, today's word, our true Messiah, our Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.